know exactly what the impacts are going to be. And I was like, well,
yeah,
that's
it's honest.
It is honest.
Welcome to episode 197 of the Rockstar CMO Effing Marketing Podcast. It's Saturday the 23rd of December. I hope you are well and starting to enjoy the holidays and staying as sane as you feel you need to be. I'm your host, Ian Truscott. I'm a three-time CMO and trusted marketing advisor. And in this weekly podcast, I aim to share the marketing street knowledge that I hope will inspire your inner rockstar with the help of chums I've met on my journey from sysadmin to CMO. Come say hello. You can find links to me and my guests in the show notes at rockstarcmo.com, and we are proud members of the Marketing Podcast Network. As the year closes out, we enjoy the holidays. Tis the season for predictions, and rather than make up any of our own in the marketing studio this week, Jeff Clark and I have spun the dial on the interwebs and share some of our favourites. And then over a cocktail in the Rockstar CMO virtual bar, Robert Rose shares his. But first, we need to pay the bar tab. I'll be back in a moment.
We'll be right back.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Right, let's get this predictions pie started with the Rockstar CMO Studio with Jeff Clark, who, as a former Forrester Research Director, knows a thing or two about predictions.
Hello, Ian. Come on into the studio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're sitting here in New England in a sunny winter. It's cold, wow, but very sunny day.
Yeah.
Had a big walk with the dog today and getting ready for the holidays.
I love those days. I love those days. We didn't have one of those today. Kind of a bit grey, but the sort of thing you would absolutely expect of the UK is the sort of day we had today. Is that picture in your mind? Yes.
Totally. Meeting expectations.
Yeah. It's not cold enough. It's not warm enough. It's not sunny enough. It's not.
It's just British.
the nothing weather that we have sometimes. But yes. But at least it was, yesterday it was pouring with rain, and so today it wasn't pouring with rain. So we got to count your blessings, right? Take your gifts.
Absolutely. Every day is a gift.
Yes. And are you ready for next week? You ready for the holidays?
Yes. We're actually hitting the road, picking up our daughter in New York and heading for the beaches of South Carolina. So we are not going to have one of those snowy winter wonderland Christmases. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a very warm beach version.
Nice.
How about you?
No, I'm not going there. I've been there. I love it down there. Yeah. And we actually had one holiday where we drove down. We were living in Stanford, so a bit south of you, and we drove down to Florida. And we stopped off various places on the way, so we spent some time down there. Very nice. Us very quiet. My daughter's coming up from where she lives, having finished uni, and we are just having a very quiet family Christmas next week. And
I'm... for the American listeners, when you finish uni, what is that?
she that's true. She's completed her studies, has her university degree, college degree. And she still lives in the college town where she was, seaside town where she was, and she is now working down there, and so she's coming back for the holidays. So
congratulations for her and you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, she has a. If anybody needs an illustrator, then I know somebody who is a fully qualified BA honors in illustration, if.
We could probably use her at some point.
Yeah. Well, if anybody's seen our website, yeah, probably. No, so our logo was designed by another one of my chums, which is very nice. I like our logo.
Anyway, I love it.
Anyway, yes, we were supposed to. Didn't we say something about let's keep the introduction brief because we've got a lot to cover today?
We did, and now we're about 3 minutes in.
Well, this week, Jeff, as we both discussed, we're going to talk about predictions. It is the season for predictions, isn't it? And so we are going to look at the predictions of 2024. But rather than burden the audience and the world with more predictions of our own, we're going to look at some of our favourites around the interwebs that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks. I'll ask you for your prediction, then we'll talk about the source of the prediction and why we like the source. And then we will do three each. We haven't got any. I was going to say we're not going to do any gimmicks. It's just straight.
These are
up.
Not one-hit wonders. These are going to be setting the trends for the future.
Exactly. Not one. All Wonderwalls or Stevie Wonders. Even they are just our favorite predictions. And we were chatting before I hit record. There is some, and I know predictions is a bit of hackneyed content at this time of year. Everybody's doing them. But I genuinely could have picked, I don't know, 5, 6 really good predictions for what's coming up in 2024. And obviously, 95% of predictions right now are about AI, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But there's a variety of predictions that we've got here. So let's kick off then, Jeff. What say you? What's your first prediction?
I'm going to start with the one that caught my eye a week and a half ago, and it was just like, Gen AI will shatter every company and industry. And I was like, shatter? Yeah. So I know this is kind of starting with a big one. It came from Ted Shadler, not Shatter, VP principal analyst at Forrester Research, a guy who's been there for a long time.
I used to work with him when, as a vendor, Ted used to cover us. Yeah, so I've known him too.
So it's a big claim. And what's interesting when I started, reading deeper into this is that it's actually, they're making a big claim, but they're starting to do a new set of research, which is trying to get into, answering some of these questions about, how will companies continue to capture revenue? How will they capture and leverage knowledge? How will they work? Will their working patterns change? Will the new businesses crop up? How will the government respond, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And the interesting thing was they said that, at the outset, our conclusions are murky because as with the internet, we don't really know exactly what the impacts are going to be. And I was like, well,
it's honest.
It is honest, but it's such a bold claim. I mean, this is like one of these claims that's clickbait, right? Because it's like, gotta read it. Oh, they'll have the answer when they release the report next year. But it is, everyone's been talking about AI and what was interesting is, because actually I thought one of the questions that they thought that was really would be interesting to find out is how will people capture information and leverage the knowledge? Because I was thinking about something else I heard from a novelist who said they were asking ChatGPT about themselves.
Yeah.
And they never got, really good answers. It's like they got, out of 5 facts. Well, 2 are right. 1's kind of right. 2 are way off. So it's like if you're just going out to the internet and you're scooping stuff up, do you have good knowledge to leverage?
Yeah.
But if you are doing a good job of creating the knowledge of which you're basing your AI, the applications will be using AI, then can be quite effective.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And I quite like where they're going, actually, Forrester. I know they don't have the answers in this particular blog post, and obviously everything that you can publicly look at from Forrester is a teaser to something you have to pay for, right? And bless them, of course they're going to do that. But also, I listened to their podcast, and the other day I was listening to something where they were talking about the threat of AI a bring your own AI. There's a trend of bring your own AI to work, right? And the organizations have to face that. The fact that everybody's knowledge work, whether you sanction it internally or not, is going to be impacted by AI because people are going to be using it. So I think that's a, I mean, it's a bold claim, isn't it? Gen AI will shatter every company and industry, but it's going to affect every employee, isn't it? Every action that people do. So I think it's a good one to start with.
Well, that, and that also reminds me that just recently Sports Illustrated, which obviously is a big sports magazine in the United States, got caught by several articles were written by AI. Several writers were actually not real people. And it's like, and so, you know, you muck around and you do things like that, then it's got to be a big damage to your reputation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Unlike the experiment I've been running, which is called Mamby Pamby Land, which makes it really clear that it's written by robots. And I do that. I've done it because I just find it just looking at the quality, trying to get that quality of content as high as possible with chat and just really see what it's capable of doing. And so, yeah. Anyway, that's
what is your first prediction that you picked up?
Well, I judiciously, I naturally stayed away from AI. Oh, not naturally. I stayed away from AI, basically, with my predictions.
You purposely stayed away.
That's the words I'm looking for, because I can't speak. I love this little thing. So Content Marketing Institute did like 67 predictions. I know that I'm supposed to talk about the prediction before the source, but I want to put it into context. And what I quite liked here is I listen a lot to Joe Polizzi, the author of Content Marketing, Content Inc., rather. He's like the father of content marketing. I follow his work. And he's talking, his prediction inside this 67 predictions was for the future of print and the opportunity for print. And I thought, that's a really nice prediction to stick into something like this, sort of like to, as a juxtaposition to all this AI and stuff, is that it's worth a look at, I think, if you're a B2B marketer and think about, you know, delivering stuff I don't want to say old fashioned just in case, but you know what I mean? It's that sending stuff through the mail and getting that delivered is fantastically engaging. And I think that we've completely ignored it, and particularly at the moment with all this stuff about AI and stuff like that. But I liked his prediction that he thinks in 2024 there will be an opportunity for print and that people start seizing on that. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, we used to be deluged by, you know, having racks of collateral and this and that other thing. But now that's, you know, pretty much, you know, the warehouse is depleted. It's all going off to recycling. It's kind of like, that still means sometimes you can create print items that stand out, that have longstanding value and make a good impression. So I'm totally down with that.
Yeah. And also since I kind of started thinking about it and see it, and you know, I don't know, there's that psychological phenomena, isn't it? Once you start thinking about something and looking at it, you start seeing it everywhere. Like if you buy a white car, you see lots of white cars. But I saw that there was a startup that want to publish your newsletter actually in print and send it to people. I was talking to somebody else who's on the Marketing Podcast Network, Keith Smith, and he was talking about one of his contacts who's going to create a marketing magazine.
Oh, my
Heaven
God.
Heaven forbid, yeah. I mean, in the UK, for example, we used to have loads of marketing magazines, and Campaign seems to have gone by the wayside, and he wants to revitalize that. So I think Joe might be onto something. I mean, I must admit, I was a bit cheeky putting this prediction in, because I thought it was such a wonderful juxtaposition against that, especially, I mean, I'd encourage people to go and look at this. It's the Content Marketing Institute's Trends for Content Marketing. Excuse me, there are 67 predictions from some of the real sort of heavy hitters in that particular business discipline. But so many of them are about AI. And then you've got this gem that's about print. So I'd encourage people to go look at that.
Well, gosh, with 67 predictions, you know, even if you bat 500, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah. So, and of course, just to remind people, I will include links to all of these predictions in the show notes so you go and look at those. But yeah, have a look at that. So, Jeff, what's your second?
I hate to do this because I'm going to go back to AI, but conversational marketing and AI-driven interactions will increase customer satisfaction. And this was number one out of Forbes' top five marketing predictions.
Yeah.
And the thing I what caught me about this is that, you know, certainly chatbots and virtual assistants have been around. I don't know how far back they go, maybe 10 years, but, you know, they started becoming more prevalent maybe 5 years ago. But, you know, they've often delivered kind of, you know, the experiences are not always great. And sometimes they're irritating because they pop up when you don't want to pop up. And sometimes you get involved in a chat discussion and then you realize you're talking to a, you know, talking to a support person that is, you know, not terribly helpful. And so I do think this is an area where, you know, AI can really make these tools more effective and more pervasive. It was interesting because, you know, not a necessary prediction, but from CMS, actually it was from CMS Wire had a list of top predictions. And in there was a quote from a woman, Sidra Berman, CMO of Parcel Lab, saying AI technologies will allow marketers to optimize customer experience at record speeds, offering more ways to delight customers based on specific requests. And then you get into the, you know, obviously the use for multi-tier marketing campaigns, you know, the whole idea about keeping people engaged and reacting appropriately. So as you know, you and I both, you know that kind of promise has been out there for a long time. The use of AI and chatbots recently is making it, you know, has been more prevalent. And I think it is, at some point it's going to reach a maturity where we'll all be certainly engaged with it and probably getting benefit out of it.
Oh, absolutely. I'd rather chat to a chatbot than phone somebody up. So, and I think most of us feel like that. And I think you can get your solution fixed, you know, your problem solved with a reasonably rudimentary rules engine based chatbot, right?
Yeah.
Rather than some of these advanced ones. But absolutely agree with you on that. And it's also something that my former day job, some people know that I was the CMO of Spotler Group until fairly recently. And that was something we were looking at as well. So there, we had some chat technology and we're looking at how AI could power that. So I completely agree with you on this. I think that this is a strong prediction for 2024. The only thing I would say about the source is I hate sending people to Forbes these days. You click on a Forbes link and you're like, oh my God, what circle of hell, of advertising hell, have I let myself in for here? But that one's not too bad. It's a sponsored post. It's got less ads on it. But yeah, so I'll include a link to that. So that's cool.
What is your second prediction that caught your eye for the year?
I love how we've got this down, mate. Again, I'm going to talk about the source before the prediction, because I'd encourage people to take a look at this. It was from OpenView Venture Capital, a chap called John Miller, who was the founder, who long-time people in the industry will know as the founder of Marketo. He was also the CMO of Demandbase. So he knows his B2B marketing shit, right? And I could have picked a few off the list that he did. So he did some predictions for B2B marketing in 2024. And the thing that popped out from these set of predictions that he had is the traditional B2B demand gen playbook will continue to decline in effectiveness. What he's talking about here about the B2B demand gen playbook is our dependency on gated content, right? So he's saying that we B2B marketers need to take a fresh look at how we get people into the funnel, if a funnel exists. So we can debate that as well. But I'd encourage people to go and look at this. There's a bunch of really good predictions here, but that I'd take that seriously if I was a B2B marketer and take a look at that, because I think that the days of gating everything, and I fucking hate people that gate everything, but if the days of gating everything are over and you've got to offer a bit more value and give stuff away for free and get people's trust and then they'll come. That's my belief.
I remember the debates, you know, we shouldn't gate that. Oh, we should gate it. How are we going to get the data? Yeah. And it's like, well, I guess the debate is over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it. I mean, I think it will continue to. And there is a fine balance, because absolutely something needs to be gated. And we need to have that opportunity for something, for a buyer to put their hand up and say, I'm interested, right? And the gate can do that. But it's really, when I was the CMO at Senshare, we paid for a Forrester, a really good Forrester report, and we gated it, obviously, because it's worth money. It has to be gated, right?
Yeah.
But then you get you get a lot of people come by and they're more interested in the report than you. And you might as well just give it away for free. But you can't give it away for free because it costs money, right? But the gator you got was bloody worthless. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's my second prediction.
Ah.
Oh, well, that's John Miller's second prediction. It wasn't mine. What's your third prediction then, Jeff?
My third one is... It caught my eye for a couple things. One, it caught my eye because it's from a former colleague. And secondly, just yeah. it was something that kind of intrigued me. The and I'm not sure if it's as much a prediction as a recommendation, but it was event data could be your holiday gift. Mm-hmm. So partially it attracted me because I was like, oh, I could use another gift for the holiday. but this was from Conrad Mills and Simon Daniels from Forrester Research, both research analysts. And what I liked about this is that, you know, events, you know, often get a bad rap. You know, they're expensive, they're messy, there's, you know, lots of components to them, takes a long time to develop. But if you can capture the data around the event and the people who are experiencing it, you can get some great, insights. So like registrations indicate buying interest. You can identify people who are in buying groups, topics selection indicates solution interest. Product forums can be great for customer feedback. Post-event surveys are great for like customer satisfaction assessments. That's one thing I used to do at Pegasystems is, do the NPS on the event, the company, the this, the that.
Yeah.
And, the challenge is, you've got to be good at getting and assimilating the data itself, and not being too evasive because people don't like if you're supposedly tracking them, like you've got your ID tag on you and everywhere go, they know where you've been. I know where you've been in the expo fair. but there's so many opportunities and certainly event apps and things can be helpful with this, but it's just something that I think is, it's another thing that helps provide a reason for doing events with your customers and or prospects because it's a great way of finding out interests.
Yeah, and I like this prediction as well because I think I had lunch with an event organizer this week and it was kind of weird after the pandemic because everybody's like, it will never come back. And then there was a lot of pent up demand. It kind of came back. And then we found out that events were different and people were engaging differently. So it didn't perform quite as well. So events went away a little bit. But I think in 2024, we're going to find that balance. You know how the pendulum always swings in marketing. Yeah. So I think that they're on something. And of course, Simon Daniels, friend of the show, I think I can describe him as.
You could describe him as that, yes.
Yeah, he's been on the show before. And I like his writing. He posted something today on the Forrester blog. So I'd encourage people to go look up Simon Daniels on the Forrester blog because he
has something. His was on revenue ops, past, present, future.
Yeah.
There could be another prediction in there that we haven't read yet.
Yeah, but it's nicely written, isn't it? And around like the Dickens story, isn't it? So it's well written. Anyway, but back to this one. So I think I'm in favor of this one. We're not that we're voting on it, but there we go. So that's your third prediction.
I like them all.
Yeah.
So what is your third and the final prediction?
It's interesting here because, again, I mean, it was hard to pick which predictions to pick. And so I picked the Joe one because it was quite different to probably what we were going to talk about, right? But I also knew full well, because I hadn't seen your predictions, that your predictions would be from Forrester. So I thought I'd pick a Gartner one. So it is actually, it's all right.
Thank you. I couldn't bring myself to go over
as a Forrester alumni yourself. But I mean, I tend to favor Forrester work versus Gartner anyway, even when I was a vendor and we'd work with them. I've always enjoyed work, not just because you're in the room, Jeff, but because I've always enjoyed working with Forrester. But their prediction was by 2027, 20% of brands will lean into positioning and differentiation predicated on the absence of AI in their business and products. I kind of shared this because they were then talking about customers will shift their behaviors to seek out AI-free acoustic brands that prioritize authenticity and ethics. Now, I don't know whether this is true, to be honest with you. So it's not my favorite prediction that I believe it's true. It's my favorite. I picked it out because it's such an interesting idea, this idea of acoustic brands. And of course, we're rockstar CMOs, so it kind of appealed to me anyway. And I think that's an interesting, another prediction that I would encourage people to go look at and think about is particularly if you're at the moment, if you look at the tagline of almost everybody right now, they're data-driven, AI-based, or AI-driven, data-based, or whatever. And I think that this could be a reaction against, all of that AI nonsense, when it is nonsense. I mean, we think that AI is incredible technology, but I think that sort of acousticness and authenticity and ethics sounds like an interesting prediction. I don't know whether it's going to come true. And that actually came from the sources, The Future of Marketing, 5 Trends and Predictions of 2024 and Beyond. So I'll, and again, I picked a Gartner one because I knew you'd have a Forrester one or two. So that's,
thank you for the balance.
That's my third prediction.
I think the key thing to pick out of here is the predict in the prediction, 20% of brands. And so,
that's a big chunk.
So 80%, will be over in AI land. But there is always an interest for, from a niche market segment that says we want things a certain way. And, once we get into, we're already into an era where we're worried about our personal information and how it's used and how people are contacting us. So there are going to be areas where, we'll want that. We'll want that more authentic, direct touch. And just like, acoustic and Americana type music is still popular today. everything's not going electric and synthesizers and all that is that there'll always be a market for that.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think we should set up a standards firm where we can say that somebody is acoustic, like they have to be certified acoustic.
Oh yes, certified. Oh my gosh,
there is no AI.
That's like certified organic or certified.
Certified acoustic. I think that could be our next entrepreneurial endeavor.
I
just think it's a fascinating, because typical of these things, there's a paragraph about it, and it sort of really got me thinking, like, what would an AI-free acoustic brand be? How can you prove that you're AI-free and things like that? And I found it fascinating. It's probably
The organic farm near our house is probably an acoustic brand.
Well, it depends if they used any Gen AI to write something for their website. Does that now mean
I don't
not
think they
have a website?
No. they would know where to go to do that.
they're so acoustic. They advertise with a postcard in the post office window.
I think their heads are all in the greenhouse.
That's brilliant. So those are our 6 predictions, 3 of them each, and so that's our agenda for this week, almost concluded.
And you're picking the songs today, and so why don't you tee up how we're going to play out our 2024 predictions?
Oh man, you're going to blame this one on me. I found some.
So I'm not going to blame it on you. I'm going to give you credit.
Well, it's a bit of a boy band. That's not really my thing. But yes, I'm going to go for the year 3000 by Busted from the year 2003. So 20 years old, but they're not a boy band anymore. But,
they've got facial hair.
But I like you highlighted the lyric in our notes. I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they live underwater. So I think there you go.
Which I was like, when I read that, I was immediately, I remember seeing this really, well, I thought was a bad movie called Waterworld.
Oh my God.
Kevin Costner, where everything is underwater because of climate change and whatnot. Yeah, and the ice caps have melted and they're running around on jet skis and whatnot. And it's like, that's what made me think of,
Yeah. Wasn't that like the most expensive movie of all time at the time? And was a huge box office flop, wasn't it? And almost crushed Kevin Costner's reputation, didn't it? All right. So that's the agenda. And then next week, I'm assuming as it's the holidays, you're going to be, you're down in
Carolina. Be in sunny South Carolina.
Yeah. So and, I'll,
we'll be back. I'll be back. I don't know whether you'll be where you'll be, but I'll be back.
There will be a show next week. I'll just do some highlights and stuff like that. End of year wrap up thing. But as for you, Jeff, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yay.
Sounds good.
Happy holidays.
And you know, bye-bye. One day when I came home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise. Went out to the backyard to find out if it was one of those running boys. Stood there was my neighbor called Peter and a flush capacitor. He told me he'd be building time machine like the one in the film I've seen. Yeah, yeah. He said I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived a new order. And your great Thank you, Jeff. And that was a little bit of Year 3000 by Busted from 2002 and was later covered by the Jonas Brothers, I think, in 2006. And you can find links to all of these predictions in the show notes at rockstarcmo.com, and I'll post them also on LinkedIn. Just search for Rockstar CMO. Right, it's that time of the week to wind down the Rockstar CMO virtual bar and join Chief Troublemaker at the Content Advisory, Robert Rose, for a cocktail and his predictions. Good evening, Robert. What are you drinking?
Oh, hello, my friend, and well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
This show will be, I guess, your Christmas episode. So
yes.
I'm assuming there will be all sorts of bells and jingle bells and wonderful things.
Of course.
That will festoon the bar, as it were.
As you can see.
Hopefully the music is introducing this as something Christmassy and piano and tinkly on the pianos, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have something fun planned for the bar this mm-hmm. week. But for cocktails perspective,
yes.
We're going to keep it really simple in that it is Christmas. And one of my favorite things to do at Christmas is to drink really, really, really nice whiskey. We are going to start our whiskey journey for our Christmas show with something that's a little different. It's a Japanese whiskey, actually, which right. if you have not had Japanese whiskey, it's worth a tour. Let me put it that way.
Ooh, okay.
Basically, we're going to start with this. It's a whiskey called Nikka, N-I-K-K-A, mm-hmm. Nikka whiskey. Mm-hmm. And it is an absolutely beautiful, wonderful whiskey made with really, as the marketing materials say, 100 different batches of malt grain mm-hmm. whiskeys. Mm-hmm. And so it's a blend. And it's just an absolutely, it's aged in sherry barrels. So it's mm-hmm. It's a perfect sort of very holiday sort of tasting whiskey. Very spicy, very, you know, punchy sort of whiskey, and it's just great for sitting around and mm-hmm. opening presents and mm-hmm. in a warm, snuggly place where it might be snowing outside or raining outside as it is here. And yeah, just a great way to celebrate our holiday.
I love it. And I think last week we agreed that we're spending the holidays at home, so we'll be sipping these in our respective homes, I believe.
Indeed.
And yes, and like you alluded to earlier, a little bit of a special difference this episode, because it's prediction season. This is our predictions show, so I've just done the predictions with Jeff, and I was interested in what your predictions were. And of course, on This Old Marketing, a podcast we regularly talk about here, yesterday, Friday, on you'd done your predictions show. So how did that go?
It went very well. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see how wrong we really are at this time next year. We did our, you know, of course, we did last month, we did our review of our predictions from 2022, about 2023. And we scored about average, maybe slightly above average.
Yeah.
You know, some of them we got really wrong, especially Joe. Some of them we got, you know, we got fairly well right. But this year, mm-hmm. I think, well, I had two that we can mm-hmm. perhaps talk about briefly.
Yes.
Which was one, these are my two favorites from the show. Mm-hmm. One, it was, and maybe this is a bit of a safe bet. Joe was chiding me a little bit that this was a safe, too safe of a bet, but it's the idea of where social media is going in 24. And mm-hmm. I think we are in for a bit of a collapse, let's call it, a mm-hmm. fundamental disruption of where social, and this is especially true, not necessarily from the consumer side, but from the marketing side, right? From a, how do we do social media marketing? Yeah. And what I mean by that is we're going to see the zombification almost certainly of Twitter. Yeah. You know, where I just don't see Twitter surviving beyond the early part of 24 in any sort of viable way. And that doesn't mean that Twitter won't be around, but it'll become such a niche, you know, Elon Musk plaything that I think it becomes pretty much a zombie of its former self. And so it just becomes sort of a curiosity more than anything viable. And I think the ripple effect from that, as well as the giant tsunami effect of what has happened with TikTok, you're going to see all the other social networks really move and widen that gap between the idea of creation of content and consumption of content. So the marketer will start to see social media not as a place to build interaction and community with their audiences, e.g. buyers, but rather as a media distribution network. In other words, social media just becomes media.
Yeah.
And it the social aspects of that really go, and this is, I guess, the more provocative of the of the predictions, is that the social aspect of that goes to events. Right. So I see companies doubling down on events as a social interaction with customers, both physical and digital events, and a real pullback from social media other than as a content distribution network for promotion of their owned media, such as events.
Right. Oh, that's interesting, because I think that's something we've also been talking about in terms of podcasts and stuff, isn't it? That anything you're doing needs to have a marketing plan behind it, and social media isn't going to give you that organic growth anymore like it used to, or that promotion anymore like it used to, right? You've got to market the content that you're doing. Is that what you're saying here, is that social is fundamentally changing in terms of the marketing mix?
Yeah, it becomes a creator platform, right? Yeah, it becomes, you know, it from the simplest sense, it becomes, you know, just think of the way that we currently, you know, for 10 years, we have lumped YouTube into being a social network. And let's just be honest, YouTube has never been a social network. Like, you never go to YouTube and interact with comments, right? At the very most, you might look at some of the comments to determine whether you want to watch the video. And that's the very most, right? YouTube comments are just a toxic playground of awfulness. And so, for the most part. And in fact, most companies will simply turn off comments for most of their videos, because it's not worth the hassle.
Yeah.
And so as a distribution network, as a search engine optimization play, or as a way to become discoverable for content, well, YouTube is a great media channel, paid and earned from that perspective, and a way to promote, theoretically, our owned media, whether it's, you know, having people come into our website, or whether it's having people subscribe to our newsletter, or subscribe to our webinar program, or, you know, whatever it is, that becomes the function of YouTube. I think you start to see with Facebook and Instagram, with Reels and TikTok, and even LinkedIn to a certain degree, become a similar type of program.
So it's very much back to that sort of whole rented land concept as well, is that we're going to drive people to our own,
but just
owned media.
Less engagement, right? Less focus on engaging with comments, less engagement, less focus on how many times it's been shared, less attention and focus placed on building any kind of knowledge base or community based information, you know, in these, you know, the whole idea of what we did 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago with fostering the idea of a community on our social media channels, that just is going to go away full stop.
I feel bad for events. I mean, Twitter was something that served us all, right? And it certainly served events really well. And now that's just completely gone away, hasn't it? And I think, to you know, that's what you're really saying, isn't it? That our whole engagement with social has changed fundamentally. It used to be you'd be in an event, you'd go on Twitter, there'd be like a side stream and everybody would be discussing it and there'd be a community beyond the people in that room, and we can't create those communities anymore, can we?
Yeah, it used to be. Well, yeah. I think what Twitter laid bare was the early iterations of Twitter, and the reason that if you get into the psychology of it, even as a marketer or as a creator, one of the reasons that you posted to something like Twitter was so that you could build an audience, right? You could build a following, you could build a bit of an amplification for your voice. And it was about see me, like, what do I think about the world, right? And it was literally a social media platform, right, where anybody could be democratized to have a loud voice if you could just build a strong following. And I think the destruction of Twitter sort of laid bare the idea that that goes away in minutes, right? It literally can be taken from you, and all that work that you put in. You know, how many people do we know with large, substantial followings who finally just gave up? You know, who just gave up on the platform and said, it's not worth it. And what I think that the cut that is so deep there is, and you can see this happening now with the sort of, fantastical rise of Threads and then very, very quickly leveling off, is that people are weary and wary, right? They're like, I don't know that I want to go through this again. And so it's really discouraging a casual content creation for everybody. You know, how many people do you know are just like, I don't post on Facebook anymore. It's just not worth it. You know, or I don't really post on Instagram every now and again. And, I just don't post that often because they're becoming, it's much more pleasurable to just simply consume content.
Yes, absolutely. So that was your first prediction, and I think that I think that's a really interesting thing to dig into. So I'm looking forward to hearing. We're recording this ahead of time. I've given away the timeline there, haven't I? So I always look forward to your show on a Friday. What's your second prediction, if we've got time for that?
Sure. Well, very quickly, it's basically it wouldn't be a 2023 prediction show without something about AI. So we have to think about AI. I think in 2024, AI finally starts to earn its keep. And what I mean by that is that I think businesses begin to finally take it seriously enough to start integrating it into the marketing process and marketing workflow and get out of this sort of ad hoc experimental mode. And here's, I guess, the more, because that's an easy prediction to make. And here's the more specific and, I guess, provocative part of that prediction. But I don't think it has anything to do with content creation. In other words, I don't think it's going to be about writing more blog posts or writing better white papers or making web copy. I think the two areas of focus for where generative AI will be mostly used will be, one, in the sort of aggregation, if you will, or access to customer enablement and customer service content. In other words, taking a knowledge corpus and making it much more accessible and personalized based on a customer's needs. So think just a chatbot, for customer service on steroids, right? Where it can answer your how-to question of using a product or getting to a manual or blah, blah, blah. So replacing, in many ways, customer service, customer enablement, content platforms. And two, more as an internal resource for marketers to do things like research, gap analysis, predictive analytics, and things like persona research or topical, topic SEO types of research, that kind of internal tool for creating more human-oriented, efficient content. So it's one of those things where I think content at the uppermost parts of the funnel will lean into brand and purpose and human and authentic and become, because as it moves through your customer's journey, it can afford to become less human as you get into more of the customer service, how to, oriented content. So I think that's where it earns its real
key. I think that's going to be interesting. I think that's a bit like the dream of personalization, isn't it? And then all of a sudden people realize that in order to create personalized content, they needed to create a personalized experience. They needed to create a whole bunch of content and organize it and get it ready for the machine in order that it could do that personalization. What I'm hearing there is absolutely these tools are going to be great at that, but they need to be fed that, you know, they need to be taught, don't they? It's machine learning. So I think we're going to need to get very well coordinated around what content it is that's going to inform that answer that machine gives.
That's the real work to be done, right? Yeah, that's the building the custom learning model. Let's call it appended or amended or enhanced learning model.
Yeah.
That is specific to our industry, specific to our company, specific to our jargon, specific to the way that our people, audiences talk, speak, act. That's going to be the real trick.
Yeah.
Because even now you can start to see this is especially true in images. I've been noticing. You can see AI generated images. You can just see it. There is a absolute look to them.
Yes.
And so anybody who's sort of purporting that to be true photography or true imagery or true, you know, creativity in that perspective, you just already start a rung lower, right? Mm-hmm. With that. And it's to your point, I'm routinely now getting emails that I know I can see it. Mm-hmm. I can see that in the text that it's an AI generated drip campaign, or it's an AI generated spam comment on my LinkedIn post, or the uncanny valley of AI generated content. You can start to spot it now. And yes, maybe that gets better as the technology gets better, but truly it's not going to get to a point, I don't think, in the next year where people are going to really desire it, right?
Yes.
And so I think the in many ways, and this is one of my other predictions, which is sort of that brand will become the leaning strategy for most companies in 24, moving very much up to the source of information, the influencer, the subject matter expert, the brand being the storyteller, that becoming actually more valuable than the story itself, right? So it's going to become a very big trend to say, no, this is information, but it's brought to you by fill in the blank, right? Because that's where trust will be built in a world where everybody expects it to be AI content.
Yeah, credibility and authenticity. Yeah, absolutely. So I know we're tight on time because we spent too much time talking before I hit record. What, where would people find useful, authentic, genuine content if they would spin the dial on the internet, right?
Well, they would find it at our little website called contentadvisory.net.
Splendid. And of course, they'll hear all of your predictions on This Old Marketing podcast that you host with Joe Polizzi.
Indeed, yes. I would invite you. Just go to thisoldmarketing.com.
Cool. And you mentioned you're on Threads. And who are you on Threads?
Threads, I'm just Robert Rose, and that's where I've been hanging out lately because I'm done with Twitter.
All right, mate. Well, I better let you get on, and happy holidays. I hope you have a lovely time.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Cheers, mate, and I'll see you next week. Thank you, Robert. And as we mentioned there, you can hear all of his predictions in his podcast that he does with Joe Polizzi, This Old Mark. So that's a wrap on episode 197 of the Rockstar CMO Effing Marketing Podcast. I've been your host, Ian Truscott. Thanks to Jeff and Robert for sharing their insight, and to you for dropping a dime into your podcasting jukebox, selecting our track and jiving along with us. You can find links to me, Jeff and Robert, and our work in the show notes on rockstarcmo.com, along with our blog, newsletter and all of our previous episodes. Please let us know what you think. Drop a rating or review in your favourite podcast app, or just keep listening. I'm glad you're here. Next week, we will have a special end-of-year show, including rounding off the year with Robert in the Rockstar CMO Virtual Bar. Happy Christmas if you celebrate. I hope you have a splendid holiday week. And if you fancy a break from all of that, I hope you'll again join us next week here on Rockstar CMO FM.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.